So this morning, you are in for a real blessing because Caleb Breedlove is bringing the word this morning. Come on up, Caleb. Caleb is our connections director and been a part of our church, he and his family, for the last several years. Came on staff with us in February and just doing a great job leading us. And I always love it when Caleb preaches. He brings the word. He brings scripture. He brings truth and revelation. And sometimes I think in this morning in the first service, he said he was just preaching right at me. He's just preaching right at me. So would you pick on somebody else? Just somebody else. You just need to get this today. He's going to be preaching right at you. Welcome, Caleb Breedlove.
Hey, guys. Oh, there it is. Hey, guys. How are you doing? Good. It'll go quicker if you talk back to me. Is that okay? All right. So let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to start at verse 12 here, and then we're going to get to it. You ready? Let's buckle up. I'm going to read a lot. You good? Yeah. All right. See, I'm testing you here. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us. Right there when it says the love of Christ compels us, I like other versions that say the love of Christ controls us. I love that. Controls us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Following me? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I like the King James Version. A lot of theologians, they go back and forth about the translation of this, but they say, most theologians say that the King James Version actually got it right, where it says, you are a new creature. You're a new species, right, on the earth. So that's what it's saying there. You're a new creature. Ready? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses or their sins to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Are you still following me? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Well, amen. That's my message. I'm kidding. Everyone should have laughed at that joke. Okay, I'm kidding. Let's pray. Father, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you would begin to release your spirit. Rest on us, Holy Spirit. We need your spirit to help us to understand that our heart and our minds will be filled with light, and that we would come to know your son, Jesus, and we would come to serve him and love him the way that he loves us. I ask you for that right now in the name of Jesus, that you would give us open ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to his church today, right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm literally going to preach this text to you, and then I'm going to put Easter eggs there. I'm just going to give you the chapter. I'm going to refer to the book. I'm going to give you the book. I'm going to refer to a passage, and then you got to go and find it, right? Because it's so take really good notes or come back to the message and go, what did he say here? And then read the whole book. I just want you to read the whole book. Don't Google it. Read the whole book, okay? But my heart has been, as we've been doing this DNA series since Pastor JD started it off, my mind literally could not be separate or could not stop thinking about, that was a double negative, could not stop thinking about 2 Corinthians 5. I was like, this is it. This is what we're preaching all the way through. We're preaching 2 Corinthians 5. So let's start from where I started here and what Paul was saying and what I was seeing as it pertains to our DNA and we being the church and what is in our DNA now, right? Okay, here it is. This is what Paul says. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. This is what Paul is saying here. When we were living with you, when we were teaching you, when we were showing you how to live this life, he's saying we were living in a way where we knew that how we live was going to depend, your testimony about what you believe was going to depend on how we lived in front of you. That's fun. That he's saying we made sure that our example to you was so that you would be able to still have opportunity to share the gospel with those that are just looking for the appearance. They're not looking for the heart. They can't perceive the heart. They're looking for how you live your life. And he's saying here, I lived my life in front of you in such a way that even my example can be your message. Yeah? That's intense. You are here in this room. You're here for several reasons, and I'll give you a few of those today. But you are here because someone in your life modeled the love of Jesus. You are here because someone is modeling the love of Jesus, right? They're showing you this gospel that you've received in their lifestyle. And you're like, I like this. I want to emulate it. This is what Paul says. He says, for if I was beside myself, I love that. It was for God. He's like, if I was acting a little strange around you, that was for God. It wasn't for you. He says, above all, even the things that you think are strange, even the things that you think are weird, I actually wasn't doing it for you. I was doing it for God. Right? And then the things that, you know, you're like, ooh, I like that. I want that. That was for you. That was because I loved you and I wanted to give you an example of something you and give you the opportunity of something you can boast about. Isn't that good? Are you with me? You're kind of looking at me like, okay, anyways. I love this here. He says, for the love of Christ compels us. It controls us. Notice that Paul did not say, because I love Christ so much, I do. Because I'm so perfect in this way, in my example of pursuing Jesus, because I've reached the pinnacle of maturity, therefore. He did not say that, right? What did he say there? For the love that Christ has for me compels me to live my life the way that I do. It compels me to do things that you're like, ooh, he's kind of weird. And it compels me to do things in front of you that actually exemplifies or it shines on the gospel that we've received. Here's this. I love what he says in the book of Romans. Here's your first Easter egg. He says, I appeal to you by the mercies of God to lay down your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. I'm just thinking, let's just rewind. Here's what he says. He says, lay down your body as a living sacrifice. That's not cute. That is not a cute thing, right? It's not a badge of honor that says, oh, I'm a living sacrifice. No, no, no. That's some, like, sacrifice? Really? Really, Paul? And where do you come off saying it's reasonable for me? It's reasonable for me to lay my body down as a living sacrifice? He says, yes, it's reasonable. Why? Because I'm appealing to you by the mercies of God. When you consider just how merciful the Lord has been to you, that should control you. When you consider just how much the love of God has been poured out in your life, you should consider that when it comes to your obedience. You should consider that when it comes to how you treat one another. You should consider that, we should consider that when it comes to how we live our lives before God day in and day out. When people are seeing us and when they don't. Yeah? When we're angry and that guy cut us off. I need the love of Christ to control me in that moment. Right? When the guy messes up our order in the restaurant and he has a nasty attitude about it, I need the love of God to control me in that moment, okay? We need the love of God to control us, and it's his love. Oh, how he loves you and me. That was for some of you that know that song. Anyways, here's what it says. Because we judge this, he says, this is what we've resolved. This is what we've seen. This is what has been settled in us, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all. You know, I think about this whole debted thing, and I told this story earlier today. I remember, have you ever had someone risk their life for you? I have. I remember my uncle in Jamaica. He's this very straight-laced and very known detective, right? And there's a lot of gang violence in Jamaica, and he was cracking down on gang violence when I was a kid. And so he would have to be protected when he came home, that he would fall, you know, he would be coming, and all these police cars are coming around him because literally there were gangs after him to kill him. And one day there was a shootout at my house. And I remember I was playing in the yard. My uncle was there. And these gangs just started shooting at our house. And I remember my grandmother, she sprung into action. I'm a kid. I hear bullets like whizzing by me. She sprung into action. She picked me up and hid me behind a wall with her. Let me tell you, I would do anything for that woman. Okay? She saved my life. She saved the lives of our entire family. And our family has done that. Now, if you would do so much for people that risk their lives for you, how much more will you do for the one that gave his life to you? Gave his life for you. He gave his life so that you can live. He died for all. You're not in here because you are the best. You're not in here hearing the gospel because you are the good ones. No one looked at you in heaven and says, you know what? That girl deserves a cookie. Right? Here's what Jesus says in the gospels. Ooh, that's a really good one. He says, the physician doesn't come for the healthy. The physician comes when you're sick. So that I did not come for the righteous, I came for sinners. Guys, we're not here because we were right, even though we think we are most of the time. Right? He died for all. He died for the guy with the bad attitude when you told him your order was wrong. He died for the guy that cut you off, that you honked at in your anger. Right? He died for us all. Let's see what that means for us. This is what it says, for that those who live, that's us in this room, you're alive, right? Should live no longer for themselves. Just let that sit for a little bit there. You should no longer live for yourself. The reason why I will do anything for my grandmother, I will drop what I'm doing. She risked her life for me. I owe her a debt. I owe her my life. I will risk everything to give her what she desires. How much more would I risk everything to give Jesus what he desires? I'm no longer living for myself. I'm no longer living for how I feel and my comfortability. I'm no longer living for the American dream. I'm no longer living for my livelihood, my bank account to be full, so full that, you know, I can rest on a little nest egg when I'm in my old age. I'm living, everything that I do, I'm living for him. It's reasonable. He gave his life for us. Are you with me? Here's what he says. Therefore now, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Here's what that means. You regard no one according to how they appear to you. You regard no one according to how what they can do for you. You regard no one according to how nice they were to you. It's no longer about that when you're not living for yourself. Right? It's no longer about that when you're living for Jesus. It doesn't matter if they lied to you and you can't trust them anymore. It doesn't matter if they were angry at you and said some frustrating words and hurt your feelings. It doesn't matter if they could give you $1 million so you're just going to, you know, kiss their little elbow until they give you what you want from them. You don't regard, when you stop living for yourself, you don't regard anyone around you according to the flesh. Good? Here it is. Here's what it says. I love this. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, I said this earlier, it's not about what would Jesus do. It's about what is Jesus telling you to do. He's alive, guys. We don't look back and regard him by the flesh and say, oh, he was just a moral teacher. No, no, no. He's Lord. He's alive, and he wants to talk to you. You with me? That the one who died, he also rose again, and he's now the head of all things concerning those who love him. He wants to talk to you. He wants to share with you what he wants you to do. Isn't that good? It says we don't know. It says, yet now we know him thus no longer. We can actually know his heart. We can actually know his mind. We can actually ask him, Jesus, what you're thinking, and wait for him to respond, and he will, by the help of his spirit. Good? Yeah, yeah. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. I want everybody to say this. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creature. I'm a new species on the earth. You're a new species on the earth. There is no humans like you. Do you get what I mean when I say that? Let me unpack that a little bit. Okay. In the world, it says they toil and labor without a hope. When they get sick, Their world is torn apart because they don't know what's on the other end of their sickness. What's on the other end of death if death comes to them. They have no certainty or confidence in what the life they have lived, if it was acceptable, if there is a God, and if they have to answer to him. There's no hope. They don't know if there's oblivion there or not. You are a new species on the earth. Without Christ, you have not been able to make yourself new. You have a hope. You have a confidence. We were taught to manipulate and to lie and to steal if we wanted something. It's downright in us. My kid, I look at and I marvel how much of a sinner they are. They're sinners. They need Jesus. Right? They will lie. I said, Joey, did you take that? No, Daddy, I didn't take that. I'm like, Joey, it's better to tell Daddy the truth or you don't get it. No, Daddy, I didn't take it. And then I find the wrapper under her pillow, okay? It is in us, but when we are in Christ, our entire DNA changes and we are a new creature. Isn't that wonderful? Now you have the power to tell the truth. Now you have the power to deny yourself and not manipulate to get your way. Now you can trust someone to provide for you in every single way you need. Isn't that wonderful? Now you have a joy. Now you, when you get sick, you know your healer. And you know if you die, you're going to be with him. That's our joy. You are a new creature. There's no species like you on the earth. Yeah? Here's what he says. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Whoo! All things have become new. You know, we've had newborns, two newborns. Y'all, everything's new to them. Everything is new. When things are new, that means they don't know what's up from down. They don't know their elbow from their knee, right? I remember what I would do if my newborn was fussing, I would just tap them on the back. And they're like, ooh, what is that? You know, they'll start thinking, it's new, right? You're not born again. This is what it means to accept the gospel of Jesus, to commit your life. It is as if you are born again. That means you are a newborn. You are a new creation. You're a child. And you're not a child without a father that wants to talk to you, that wants to teach you how to walk and talk, that wants to teach you how to love and be a good human and look like him in everything you do. You have a daddy and he wants to love you. He wants to train you. Yeah? Who's this making happy? It's making me happy. We're new creatures. All things, that means all that shame and guilt and lying and conniving and stealing and hatred and hopelessness, it's gone. Now there's a new life that is available to you and he wants to help you discover it. All things are new. Good? Here's two ways. Go into my clothes. Two ways to engage this new life. This is what he says here. Now all things are of God. Have you ever just stopped and think about that? You're a new creation. All things have passed away. All things become new. Now all things are of God. Do you know the implications of that? That everything you do, everything you are, everything you want, everything you desire, everything you're longing for, it's of him. He's literally the answer he's not your genie in the bottle. You don't have three wishes and then he's out. He's all in all. This is how the scripture says it in Ephesians, that Christ is in all. Huh? Through all. He's all in all. In the book of Colossians, it says he's the first thing, he's the last thing. He is, this here's a million-dollar word for you, preeminent. Meaning he is supreme. Meaning he's the first thing, he's the only thing. It says all things were made for him, through him, by him. There's nothing that has been made that has not been made by that man, and everything is being held together by the power of his word. Now you get to experience a life where all things are of God. Now your eyes are open to go, God is there. How many of us were saved and it was like, oh my gosh, that's God. You're watching a movie and the movie has nothing to do with God, but you're seeing the gospel. I'm like, that is Jesus, right? All things are of God. Your eyes are open. You're able to see he's in everything. He's with you. He's for you. He wants to talk to you. Because this is what it says, who has reconciled us to himself. In the book of Matthew, it says, Jesus called his disciples to himself. Before he gave them authority and sent them out to do work, it says he called them to himself. He reconciled them. Have you ever been angry with your spouse? Come on, married folk, you've been angry, right? You've just been looking at them like, I really can't stand you right now. Right? But when you're reconciled, what do you have to do? You got to talk. You got to process. What do you have to do? You have to rediscover intimacy through conversation. That's what God wants. He wants you to come and talk to him. Come talk to me. Come look me in the eye. Come search for me. Pursue me. The scripture says that if we draw near, James, if we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. What is he saying? Pray. Here's your actionable. Pray. Just say like this, our Father. Our Father. Just start there. Our Father. And then talk. And then shut up. And then listen. See what happens in your heart after you've told him your deep, deep desire. See what happens when you share. Prayer is not communication with God. It's communion with God. Let me tell you this. Communication is sharing information, right? I can text you information. God doesn't want your text messages, right? Right? Communion is sharing the most intimate thoughts, purposes, and feelings of your heart. That's what he wants. And that's what he wants to give to you, his most intimate thoughts, purposes concerning you and the world. Then, here's what it says, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He doesn't just want you to pray with him or talk with him, pray to him, right? He wants you to work with him. He wants you to actually come into this. I died for all, and I love you all, and I want you to share in it. This is what it says God does through us doing that. Let's jump down, and it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading. Do you know that, you know how humble it is for the God of the universe to plead with you? The righteous one that could literally wag his, he could literally blow from his nostrils and burn the entire earth up. That's how big he is. He is not sitting there on the throne in his power. He has all power, by the way. He has all wisdom, right? He is not sitting in all wisdom and in all power wagging his finger at you. I'm here on behalf of Christ, and through me, I'm pleading with you, get right with God. Love him. Come to his love. That's what he's doing. He's not sitting there saying, get your stuff together. He's pleading with you, come, I want your heart, and I want to share my heart with you. He's pleading with you. Everyone that is a believer in this room, it is because God pleaded with you and your heart was open to it. Whew, isn't that intense? He wants to make you a new creature. He wants all your shame and your guilt and your hopelessness to pass away, and he wants everything to become new. He wants to change your very DNA. That's what he's wanting to do. How many of this is this speaking to anyone? If you say right now, there's three calls I hear. The first one is, I want to become a new creature. I want old things. I want that shame and that. I want to be forgiven of my sins. Guess what? It's been paid for already. You can literally stand up right now. And I'll pray with you. I'll do the Our Father with you, right? I'll do the Our Father with you. And in Christ Jesus, he will have mercy on you, and he will forgive you, and then he'll make all things pass away, and then he wants to take your hand and show you newness of life. If you want that, I want you to stand up. Come on. With courage, stand up. Yes. Praise God. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No, keep standing. Keep standing. We're going to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Let's pray this together. Our Father, who in heaven, you are holy. You are perfect. You are right. I know that everything that I have done, they have not all been right. And that has hurt your heart. That I've grieved you. And I come to you through your Son, Jesus. And I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me for all my sins. To wipe away all my shame. All my guilt. To make everything new in my life. From this moment on, Lord, I commit my life to you. For you died for me. Help me to live for you until I meet you face to face. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Second thing, you guys can be seated. If you're wanting a fresh, just like, yes, Lord, I sign up again to pray. I sign up again to hope. I just sense that right now. There's been a lot of hope deferred. There's been just a lot of disappointment. And you've just gone like, why should I pray? Why should I? Nothing changes. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things that are changing and you don't even see it. You don't even know it. We sung it just earlier. You are working even when I don't see it. Right? You never stop working. And I just sense the Lord wants to just heal your heart from just disappointment. You just felt so disappointed and you started doubting. I want you to just raise your hand. If that's you, just raise your hand really quick. Yeah, I see you. I see you. I see you. Good. So let's pray together. Jesus, you're good. You're so wonderful. You're perfect. I'm sorry that in this life and through what I've been going through, I have not seen that. I have not seen that you're perfect. But Lord, help me to see it. Help me to see that you're working in my life. Help me to see that you love me. Help me to see that you're still working. I open my heart and I open my life. Come, Lord. Do a work. Heal. Free. Deliver. Transform everything. Make everything new. And I'll work with you. Help me to hear your leadership. Help me to hear you leading me through my days. In Jesus' name. And the last call is just a charge. I feel the Lord calling everyone in this room. If you are a believer, if you are a son of God, if you've received this free gift of righteousness through Christ Jesus, like our brothers and sisters that just dedicated their lives to Christ, let me tell you, you've been called to plead with the world, to plead with God. You've been called to plead with God. Plead with him. Be reconciled to God. Come into right fellowship with him. Come into right. He wants a relationship with you. He died for all. It's reasonable that we would plead with him. Amen. Pastor Tommy.
Glad he preached to you this time instead of just to me. Aren't you glad he preached to you this time and not just to me? I ask you to stand with me. I'm going to ask our prayer team if you'll come down to the front. We're going to close this service. Shelley Bankston leads our small group for new converts. And this is Shelly right here. If you made a decision, you were one of the ones who stood and prayed that prayer and invited Jesus to come into your heart, really, any of us, any of the prayer team would love to just talk with you a little bit more about what that means, about what your next steps might be. Where do you go from here? What's next? How does this change me? What do I need to do differently? And Shelley would certainly be glad to talk to you about getting involved in her class. It just kind of walks you through some of the basic fundamentals, just what you need to do as a new child of God. But our prayer team is here to minister to you for any need. You may have come today with some other issues in your life, and I know we've already prayed, and maybe you feel like it's settled already. But if there's any part of you that's like, no, I need some more prayer. We want to pray for you. So I'm just going to close this service and thank you for coming and invite you to come back. If you're new to Spirit Life Church, back at the back in the blue table, we've got some people back there that would love to meet you. We've got a gift that we'd want to give to you. It's our guest central table. So make sure you just drop by there before you leave and let us just get to know you a little bit better. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, that your spiritual DNA runs inside of us. Thank you, Lord, that you have made a wholesale change in who we are and even what we are. Lord, we're not just a patched up old man. We're a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that everything in the past is in the past. Lord, all of the things that you have for us are new and ready for our future. Help us to walk this thing out. Help us, Lord, to, as those who have been reconciled to you, spend that time of intimacy with you, but then out of that, born out of that. Lord, help us to be those ambassadors of reconciliation. Lord, that we're sharing our story, how you changed our life, how you transformed us, how you took the wreck of who we were and made something beautiful out of it. Only you could do it. Help us, Lord, to tell that story to others who need to hear it, who need the hope that comes in Christ Jesus. And we give you the praise for what is done. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Spirit Life Church.